you want to go ahead and turn there. Well, I got to tell you, I stand here blessed, and I stand here honored to be in this spot tonight. And I got to tell you, 2016 is coming to a close, and I started the year really optimistic, and it was a tough year for me. Nothing big, you know, just my petty stuff, but it was a tough year all the way through, and I'll be glad to see this one close down and start another one optimistically, right? So 2016 was it was just a very trying year most of the way through. But, you know, God teaches us things through those times, and God teaches us what He wants us to know, and He prepares us for the future. And in Matthew 5, verse 2, it says, "And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when ye shall when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So I noticed through all these blessings that there was no blessing for pride and being on top of the world. It seemed like there was blessings through here for the meek, the pure in heart, the peacemaker, those that mourn. But there was no blessing for someone that is filled with pride. Over in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5, it says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." And in Proverbs 16:18, it says, and we all know this verse, it says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." I've been thinking for the last couple of weeks about this lesson and what the Lord would have me teach tonight. Brother Mike let me know that I'd be up tonight. And, you know, I've had Peter, the story of Peter on my mind. And I want to try to draw out a few thoughts out of the story of Peter. You know, Peter was unique. Peter was different than most folks around him. Peter was a little bit of a showboat. Peter, he stepped forward when they came to get Jesus and cut off the soldier's ear. Yeah, he stepped out to walk on water when no one else would. He stepped out in faith. Peter was kind of gung-ho. Peter stood strong by Jesus' side, and he was known for that. He was most likely a chest out, head high, ready to go type of person. You know, kind of maybe a little bouncy, a little kind of end of life and ready to take something on. Just bring it on. Just give me a hill to charge, and Peter would charge it. So, you know, I've looked at these verses that we're going to go over tonight several times, and I've taught them before, but never in the context that we're going to look at them tonight. So if y'all will, turn over with me. We're going to look at a little bit of a snapshot of Peter's life in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. I don't know. Maybe you guys are ready for 2016 to get over, too. I'm not getting a whole lot of feedback tonight. Are we tired? I don't know why y'all are tired. I mean, I feel like everybody's like me. I've had the whole week off. And is everybody else off this week? No, I'm seeing some no's, I'm seeing some yeses. Well, I got more energy than I've had in months, so I won't keep you here, though, to burn it on you. Luke 22, verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." In verse 33, "And he said unto them, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." So Peter here had a vision of himself. He had a vision of a strong person. He said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, even unto death." So Peter had some life experiences that had convinced him that he had strength. Remember, he's the chest out, head up, ready to go type of guy. And Jesus knew better. And Jesus knew that Peter needed to know better. So Peter, he said, "I am ready to go with thee." And Jesus said, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So there were two things conflicting here. And Peter, see, there's a situation here. Peter's dignity had no purpose with Jesus. Peter's pride and Peter's dignity had no purpose with Jesus. Peter's dignity couldn't serve Jesus. Peter's dignity had no value and would not be protected in this scenario. Peter's dignity, Jesus talked about some sifting up in the verses I just read. Peter's dignity was lost during this sifting. Peter's dignity was expendable in this situation. God will protect us from destruction, but our dignity seems to be of little value to Him, and it can even get in the way. Sometimes our dignity must be sacrificed so we can fulfill our purpose for God. In verse 34, "And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. So, in verse 54, "And they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off." So Peter, who was going to go, he was ready to go with him. At this point, you guys all know the story. He's following from afar off to not be with Jesus, to separate himself from Jesus. In verse 55, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was was also with him." And in verse 57, it's the first time. "And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also with him. And Peter said, Man, I am not." That's the second denial. "And about the space of an hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know him not. I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew." So, Peter, just in these verses, went from a position of strength to a position of denial, which was a true loss for Peter. Peter, who was the strong one in the group, the one that was courageous, the one that was willing to step out when no one else would, had found himself in a place of denying Christ when he had just gotten out of his mouth that he wouldn't do it. And in verse 61, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." So I ask you now, where is Peter's dignity? Where is Peter's dignity now in this situation? Peter's dignity is exactly where God would have it to be. Totally gone. Peter couldn't be used in that situation. Jesus said before that you have to be converted. You have to be converted. And when you are converted, there's a purpose for you. This was part of the conversion that Jesus spoke of. It was part of that sifting. This was the humbling required to make Peter strong with God's strength, not with Peter's strength. This was the sacrifice of pride and dignity that was necessary to make Peter useful. Pride goeth before destruction. And when we have pride in us, we're not useful to God. Wouldn't it be nice? You know, I tell you, have you ever thought that I can take on the world? You know, I'm ready now, kind of like Peter was thinking. I'm ready now. I've got all this figured out. You know, I've made it. I've made it from here. It's smooth sailing. I got this figured out, Brother Lee. I'm good now. I'm in a position where everything is going to be smooth from here on out. Wouldn't it be nice? You know, I was thinking, the older I get, the dumber I get. And wouldn't it be nice to spend the first 30 to 50 years figuring things out, and then the next 30 to 50 years just kind of having it figured out? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? It turns out, though, that I'm learning that's not the way it works. That's just not the way it works, because I'm learning that God doesn't let us get there as His children. He doesn't let us live in that delusion that we've got it all figured out. There's always another humbling coming around the corner. There's always another dose of dignity to give up so that God can keep us in a place to where He can use us. You know, those around us in the world, they seem to get there. Or at least they put on a good show. They seem to get there where it's all cool. It's all good. No worries. But God won't let us stay there. Because when we're there, we can't be used. When we're there, we become prideful. We become soft. We become arrogant. We lose our ability to be used from God. Just when you think you can rest in the wisdom you've acquired, you have to hand over some of that dignity to learn, well, I'm not that smart after all. So Jesus needed Peter to be converted before he could be useful to strengthen his brethren. You know, God's children don't have the luxury of finding a place, arriving at that spot, and resting in that spot. We have too much of a purpose at hand for God to allow us to get there. Peter had a purpose. Peter had a future purpose. His purpose was to strengthen the brethren. Peter, I will say that if you're still drawing a breath, you have a future purpose in this house. I was reading an article about a lady just this week. I forget where it was, but it was in USA Today. And she had committed suicide and killed her baby along with her. And she had posted on Facebook that she was losing herself and that she had no hope. And I got to tell you, everybody here, there is hope. There is a purpose. There's a greater purpose. And it should never get so bad that we should lose hope. What a desperate place to be in someone's life. But Peter had that future purpose. And Peter's conversion, and his dose of dignity that he had to give up, it turns out it really wasn't about him. It was about others. Peter had to be put in a situation so that God could get him in a state of mind and a state of heart and a state of spirit so that he could be used not for himself, but for others. Peter had a big purpose in life, and in order for him to fulfill that purpose, he couldn't walk around a prideful person with his chest out full of strength. That wasn't the person that God needed to use to fulfill that future purpose. Peter's dignity was an easy and necessary sacrifice for Jesus to achieve this purpose. So God, why am I going through this? Why am I having to give up my dignity? Why am I having to give up my pride? Why am I having to be humbled over and over? Well, we learned where all the blessings come from in Matthew 5. We learn that pride goeth before destruction. We know that God hates pride. Why in the world would He try to preserve your pride? Why in the world would He try to preserve our dignity? It has no value to Him. It has no value. As a matter of fact, it's an impediment to His purpose and to His will. So don't think it strange when you have to hand your dignity over and become humbled once again. Don't think it strange, because God will do that to help us, and not just to help us, but to help others for our future purpose. The thing that we cling to so strongly has such little value in the kingdom of God. Our pride, our dignity, our status, our confidence, when it overrides our humility and our ability to fulfill our purpose, it must go. And that scares me just a little bit, because I am a prideful person. And going through the process of handing over your dignity and becoming humbled is not fun. It's not fun, and no one wants to do it. But if we want to serve God, sometimes it's necessary. So Peter had a big job to do. What was Peter's big job? He had to go against the social norms and bring the faith to the Gentiles. Y'all have heard this before. Peter had to go against the social norms and bring the faith to the Gentiles. It was for the Jews, right? The gospel was for the Jews. Well, we know that Jesus came and died for all. The Jews thought it was just for them, and the Gentiles were a lower class. They were unworthy, uncircumcised. They were unworthy. So, what's the big deal about that? What's the big deal? Peter's got to go break through that social barrier. What's the big deal? And that religious barrier of the Pharisees. What's the big deal about that? Well, some of us in here are old enough to remember. I'm not, but I've seen a lot of the footage. You know, 60 years ago, we had 60, 70, 100 years ago in America, we had a lower class, didn't we? And even before that, we had a lower class gender. So we had lower class races, we had lower class gender, and when those social norms had to be reset or had to be upgraded to where we are today, there was trouble, wasn't there? There was a lot of passion, there was a lot of anger, there still is a lot of passion, there still is a lot of anger around these things. Well, Peter had to go be right in the middle of that. He had to go be right in the middle of that situation and say, all you religious folks, the same folks that just crucified Christ, this thing's not just for you. This thing's for everybody. This thing's also for the Gentiles. Now, to make a person strong enough to stand in that gap, I would say Jesus had to spend some time on some conversion for Peter. He had to be converted. He had to give away his dignity. And because the reason he had to give away his dignity is he couldn't stand in front of all the people who he had respected, who he had exchanged verses with, who he had learned from, who he had taught, who he had had dinner with. All the society that he was used to being around, he had to stand in front of them alone. And he had to be willing to say, I don't care what anybody thinks. This is where I stand because this is where God wants me to stand. And you can't do that with an ounce of self-pride in you. He had to be in a situation where he was totally washed and he was totally owned by Christ. So, let's get into that just a little bit. When people were pointing and laughing, when people were talking about him behind his back, when people who once embraced him were snubbing him on the street, he had to be in a place where he did not acknowledge in his heart what others thought of him. Peter did not have to. He had to be in a situation where he did not acknowledge in his heart what other people thought of him and what other people considered of him. He had to have an inner strength that was put there by Christ. Let's go over to Acts chapter 11. And we'll look at this situation just a little bit. Acts chapter 11 and verse 1. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, this is the Jews. They heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to the uncircumcised and just eat with them. So they jumped him just as soon as they saw him. They heard about it and they jumped him just as soon as they saw him. So he had eaten with them, and he said it was okay to eat the beast that God had made. And Peter demonstrated that by eating with the Gentiles. And, you know, God had given him the vision and gave him the purpose. And this made the Jews furious and confused. They were furious and confused. This is not the way we do it around here, Peter. This is not the norm. This is not the way we've been taught. This is not the way our parents taught us. It's not the way our parents' parents taught us. It's not the way our parents' parents' parents taught us. It's never been done. And who do you think you are breaking this up? It was the same anger that they felt toward Jesus when He brought grace, and when He broke through the law, and He brought mercy, and He healed on the Sabbath, and He did the things that He felt was necessary because it was right. It was that same anger because it broke what people were used to. It broke what they had been taught all their lives. And in verse 5, after they jumped on Peter, Peter answered. And it says in these verses that he had rehearsed it. He knew it was coming, and he'd rehearsed it, and he was ready to go. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, and it as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Verse 6, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, no, Lord, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered my mouth. Verse 9, but the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. Verse 10, and this was done three times. Evidently, threes mean a lot in Peter's life. And all were drawn up again into heaven. In verse 11, and behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was. And I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. So God will send people into our lives to guide us sometimes. And God has sent these three people to Peter, and they bade him to go with him. And the Spirit bade him to go with him, and he went, nothing doubting. He had a conviction in his heart that this was the right thing to do. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So just as the beasts were not unclean because God had made them, the Gentiles were not unclean because God had made them. So Peter started preaching to them, and the Holy Ghost fell on them, which verified that they were worthy, that we were worthy. In verse 17, forasmuch then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was that I could withstand God? So let me read that part of the verse again. What was that I could withstand God? Peter wasn't in a state of mind anymore to withstand God. He was in a state of mind to follow God. Because remember, Peter had been converted. He'd already had all his pride and dignity washed out of him. And he was taking orders. He was in a situation where he was taking orders from God. In verse 18, and when they heard these things, this is the Jews now, after one little speech from Peter, when they had heard these words, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So, they held their they held their peace after a little bit of a speech from Peter, the man that was known for denying Christ three times. He told them how it should be and testified, and they agreed, and they were okay with it. Isn't that crazy? The man that had denied Christ three times, where did he get the credibility to stand up in front of the religious crowd and say, this is the way it is? He wasn't bringing any strength from Peter. He wasn't bringing any charisma from Peter. He wasn't bringing his poked-out chest and his let's-go-get-em attitude. He was bringing a humble spirit led by Christ. He was a mouthpiece for the Spirit of God. And they couldn't deny that Spirit. He might say, no, I do not know Him from Peter's voice. But with God's voice, He can turn the Jews into believers. That God did die for the Gentiles. So, I would say only after his public loss of pride and dignity was he converted. His pride and dignity and perceived strength were sacrificed so that he could be used. The Peter before the rooster was too weak to fulfill this purpose. But when you wonder why I'm going through this, and when you wonder why is it so hard, and when you wonder why did I fail again? Why am I not getting through this a little better? Know that God just may be converting you, and He may be taking a little bit of that dignity away so that He can use you. He may be taking a little bit of my dignity away so that I can be humble enough to be used. Remember, our dignity is expendable. It doesn't mean a whole lot to God. It means a whole lot to us. We care what people think. We care how we're viewed. We care whether we're on top. God doesn't care about any of that. He cares about a humble, contrite spirit. He cares about somebody that can be a conduit for His Word and a conduit for what He wants in our lives. So don't think it strange when you hand over another piece of dignity yet one more time. So, over in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, you don't have to turn. I'm just going to go through a couple of little verses here. It says, "And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Little children, unknowing, humble, trusting, and coachable. That's where God would have us to be. Jenna plays basketball, and she has a coach from a couple years ago. I will never remember. He made a comment about her. He said, "You know, she's a good ball player, but the thing I like most about her is she's coachable. When I say do something, she does it." You know, God would have us be coachable and have us not be hard-headed and have us move when He says move and stand when He says stand and go when He says go and come when He says come. That's what God would have us do. He would have us to be humble like little children. And He would have us value the things of heaven and not the things of the world. So our position in our social circles, our position, you know, in our job, our position in our community, our dignity and our pride that we strive so much for, I would say be careful that we don't cling too much to that, because it's expendable. And God will wash it out if that's what it takes for Him to use us. So as Peter found out, he didn't need his pride and dignity to change the world. And Peter did change the world. He changed the social norms of the day. He brought the gospel to the Gentiles. God put him in that gap. God chose Peter. Peter was a piece of work, and he probably wasn't the model person, but God chose Peter to do that work. So he only needed to be converted, and he only needed to be in God's will so that he could be used. He only needed to depend solely on Christ's power knowing that He brought none of His own, and we bring nothing as well. Thank you for your attention tonight.